sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vincent. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, how you doing?
Don't you forget, nothing you're about to hear is true. Right. You know, there might be some truth in this episode, because it's not just you and me being idiots again, like we normally are.
No, no, we have other idiots this show.
This one, I think this was a very, very important episode. I have a feeling that this one will trigger more discussion than previous ones. I think, may I say, it may perhaps be controversial, and
I would
and
hope
it may
so.
Actually spark a little debate. What am I talking about? Well, we've talked about the hands up, don't shoot thing. We've talked about the I can't breathe thing with that guy in New York City, Freddie, what's his name? Mm-hmm. His broken spine mm-hmm. in Baltimore and the riots. And, you know, it mm-hmm. always seems like we yes. hear mm-hmm. that side of the story. We hear the protesters, rioters, disenfranchised youth of the criminal persuasion. And
the T words.
What I've noticed is it's really no longer all that cool to be a cop. I mean, when you and I were kids, like if somebody's dad was a cop, that was cool. It's like, your dad's a uh-huh. cop? Really? That's awesome. Tell me about it, you know? And
right. It was.
There was right. a time when the only side of the story you heard was the police officer's side of the story, right? And
right.
And you didn't hear the other guy. So the media was all about the police said and police are saying and you didn't really hear and the perpetrator said, they didn't really say, and here's the perpetrator right. side of the story.
Right.
You never heard that. Nowadays,
right.
the only side of the story we seem to hear is the perpetrator side, right? The official right. line right. coming out of the police, the law enforcement office, prosecutor's office, etc., they always seem to take the tack of the less we say, the better. And we cannot comment on an ongoing investigation, right? And I've always thought,
right.
well, first of all, I'm one of the ones that jumps on the bandwagon. I'll freely admit, I jump on the bandwagon, if it's really a bandwagon, when I see police responses that are just ridiculous, mm-hmm. where there's just no explanation for the type of thing that you see. And I know you always go, well, I don't mean you. I mean, people always go, well, you know, there's always another side of the story. And mm-hmm. I'm going, I just am having trouble imagining any side of a story where a guy is held in custody for 12 hours, breaks his spine at some point in that process and dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I have trouble imagining any side of the story that would make sense to me in that case. I think that's right. the frustration that we see coming out in some of these riots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But enough about me. What do you think about what I think about this?
I think you're on to something. But fortunately for like you were saying, you know, all we ever see is the perpetrator side of the story. But fortunately for this episode, we actually have the other side of the story. I did over this past weekend, I was in Fort Wayne at the Appleseed Comic Con, and my friend Nick Havert happens to be a police officer and was cool enough to grant me an interview. So we actually have, like in the old days where you only ever heard the police side of the story. So we can actually, you know, I picked his brain a little bit about, you know, the perception of the police force, you know, in America. And it's pretty eye-opening.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I like about this fact that you did this interview
mm-hmm.
is I don't know Nick personally, but you know, I've seen him on Facebook, and
yeah,
I know what he's into.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, his free time, he's right. a regular dude. I mean, he doesn't go home and get his pipe and slippers and just, you know, read the news of the day and with his kids with their combed hair and his wife with her apron with the two pies. You know, he's not like what's the stereotypical cop in the Norman Rockwell painting? You know,
officer friendly.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah,
he's not that guy. Yeah. I mean, he has a pretty interesting personality, pretty interesting social life. Things he does in his free time are pretty cool. And so,
yeah,
I would. In fact, if you hadn't told me he was a law enforcement officer, I would not have guessed it, because you know,
right?
Stereotype.
I went the opposite way with him. I mean, I knew he was a police officer when I first met him, and I don't want to spoil anything with the interview, but you know, you have a perception of what a police officer is like, and then you meet him outside of, you know, the uniform, and it's crazy. I mean, you it's just crazy.
So I think it's a great idea. Look forward to. Just so everybody knows, I haven't heard the interview myself. I'm looking forward to hearing it. So let's hear what Nick had to say.
All right. So without further ado, the interview. I'm sitting here with Nick Havard, a good friend of mine who also happens to be a police officer. Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and feel free to exaggerate as much as you want.
Oh, okay. I am a police officer, and I have been for almost 20 years. I am a crime scene investigator and have been doing that since 2007, so that's going on, 8 years, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a professional writer, a part-time DJ, a martial arts instructor in several disciplines, mostly from China and Southeast Asia, a horror host on cable access and on the internet, and I feel like there are other things I'm forgetting. But those are my main, I guess, occupations, hobbies.
If you remember passions. If you remember anything, just feel free to blurt it out in the middle of the interview. As you know, there's no shortage of bad publicity towards police officers on the internet.
Oh yeah.
And that's why you're here. Not just because you're a heck of a nice guy.
All right.
But that's why.
I thought it was because I wrote for porn stars.
Well, there is that too. We can do a show on that later, you know. But now, I'm not exactly sure how to ask or where to go with it. But what is your reaction? And be as candid as you want, or as edited as you want. But what is your like reaction to it all? How do you think the public perceives you? Do you think that you? What's your general thoughts? That's all I really want.
Okay. Well, where to begin?
Exactly.
So, I guess starting with... I'll start with this supposed epidemic of people being killed by police.
Right,
I'll start with that.
Yes.
This epidemic that people believe exists
mm-hmm.
has been... What's the word I want? It's been magnified, blown up, if you will,
mm-hmm.
exaggerated,
yes.
That's the word I want, by media, because, you know, for right now, it's the sexy topic,
mm-hmm.
and it's bringing in ratings to 24-hour news channels, which have to fill their cycles,
yeah,
and they continually stir this stuff up because they know it will get them viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Get people angry and calling into the station and demanding stuff
mm-hmm.
and filling up their Twitter accounts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do the research and you look at the stats, which are readily available, you can go to the FBI and look up their unified crime reports.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the Center for Disease Control and look up statistics on method of death.
Mm-hmm.
And the CDC keeps track of method of death, and one of the things they keep track of are deaths from law enforcement action. People who are involved in pursuits, people who are involved in officer-involved shootings, people who are involved in prisoner transports, anything like that. Anything that involves law enforcement action that causes someone to die. That is kept record of at the CDC.
Okay.
And just like any other form of death.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look up those stats and compare them with crime stats through the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
I just read this really interesting article from the Public Agency Training Council, which is a training organization that trains police officers and jailers and whatever across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they examined this supposed epidemic of police officer deaths or police officer caused deaths. And they used the FBI stats and the CDC stats.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically found that there are approximately the FBI looked at stats from 2002 to 2012, so a 10-year span.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, there were over 500,000 felonious assaults on police officers in that time. So almost over 500,000.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other subject I'll get to in a little while, because that alone should freak people out.
Right.
And anyway, so they said, okay, using that number, how many of those felonious assaults could be situations where homicide, justifiable homicide by a police officer, where a shooting was justified,
mm-hmm.
Where basically the taking of a human life was justified. How are we going to determine that? So they used, okay, all the felonious assaults, we're going to assume that any of them that involved a gun or an edged weapon,
mm-hmm.
those are definitely, you know, justifiable shoots.
Right.
And so we'll just use those. So right away, it's going to be it's going to affect the numbers, because they're not counting assaults with ball bats, broken bottles,
right.
vehicles, people who, unarmed individuals who overpower officers and then take the officer's gun and shoot them with it,
mm-hmm.
or beat them to death
right.
on a curb or whatever it is. Just guns and knives, and the number of assaults in that 10 years whittled down to a little over 3,200.
Wow.
So, okay, they said, okay, now using that number,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's the percentage, how many percentage of these assaults were committed by white men, how many by black men, how many by Hispanics, Asians, they broke it all to that down.
Right.
Then, how many of those people who committed these assaults, how many of them were shot by officers?
Mm-hmm.
How many of them died as a result of these shootings?
Right.
And then, they pull all this data out, and to sum it all up really quick before I go on too long.
Oh, you can go on as long as you want.
They basically determined that just using the numbers involving gun and knife assaults,
right.
of those, 1 in 8 of those people who commit those crimes are killed by police officers' actions. So that's just 1 out of every 8 guys who's pulling a gun or a knife,
mm-hmm.
or a police officer, are being killed.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was surprised, really, by that number, because, I mean, but that shows, that's getting to something, because that shows a level of training. That's another subject I'll get to, because I am a police trainer.
Right.
I train physical tactics. I train active shooter tactics. I train general subjects.
There's more you could have told us about in the beginning.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yes. I'd report.
See, more stuff.
Yeah. That just goes to show that every time an officer fires a gun,
mm-hmm.
he's not putting 2 in the chest, 1 in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's lucky if he gets 1 in the thigh a lot of times.
Right.
Because it's a high-stress situation. Not
right.
every officer trains in high-stress situations. They don't do high-stress shoots.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of officers, thousands upon thousands in this country,
right.
who they go down to the range once a year. They shoot for 2 hours standing still,
mm-hmm.
at a still target, because that's their department or even their state qualification standard. And that's
right.
all they do for a year.
Right.
So those are the guys who, you know, they're getting a gun stuck in their face, and they pull a gun out, and they're, you know, they're hitting somebody in the thigh from 5 feet away.
Right.
Because they don't train high stress. So, but getting back to this whole statistic thing, you have 1 out of 8 are only being killed. So that the number of people actually being killed by police officers over a 10-year period is incredibly low.
Right.
They compared to the average of being struck by lightning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about like that. And you're far more likely to die from automobile accident, suicide, drug overdose,
I think you're 100%
accidental death.
I think you're 100% likely to die from suicide.
Well, yes, that is true. here's a bit of an interesting trivia about, you know, when through our department, at least where I work, if we go to a suicide call, the report management computer system we use in our county, if you're filing out a suicide report, you have to list the dead person as victim and suspect. They killed themselves and made themselves the victim.
Right.
It's a little
weird.
Bit of weird paperwork you have to do.
So what happens if it's a murder suicide? Is it then like suspect victim?
Two victims and a suspect.
Okay.
Yes. That's what that would be. So yeah.
I saw that tape.
That's right. So just the whole, you know, this epidemic has been blown up by media perception because.
Right.
For just about all of us, perception is reality.
Right.
And if that's all you see coming over the news, that's what you think is really happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is an epidemic across the country. No, not really. When you consider how many agencies there are, how many police officers are on the streets,
right.
You know, how many calls every day, how many days go by every day where someone isn't killed.
Right.
And if you just think about it, like, because I've met people at our small town who, you know, young people usually, who will have flat out told us, you know, like, well, you know, you guys aren't going to pull Michael Brown on me.
Right.
Or you guys aren't going to pull Ferguson on me.
Right.
And, you know, we're in this small town, and we just can't help but chuckle at these guys when they tell us this. We say, look, we're not these people.
Right.
You know, we're a small town, you know, heck, you probably even know where I live. It's not like,
right.
You know,
yeah.
I'm out, you know.
They probably see you shopping.
Exactly,
at the Martins or
we see each other at the grocery
Kroger's
store,
or
and... You know, we're not these people you have been led to believe we are.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a call recently where we found some kids out past curfew and a couple of them had drinking. And among them was one 21-year-old who was quite drunk and mouthy. And he was going on about, you know, proclaiming to know what his rights were
right.
and all that. And, you know, which is fine, you know, if you know what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about.
Shut your mouth.
You know, it doesn't make things good for you, and
no.
it really just, you look more like a fool, especially now that everything is audio recorded and video recorded.
Right, right.
And, you know, we all have, our department does not have the chest-worn cameras, but we all have cameras in our cars, and we have the microphone recorders and the on-off switch on us.
Right.
So everything's at least audio recorded, if not both.
Right.
And so when we, you know, if we end up arresting you, and we take that tape to court, and you're in there ranting about... You know, constitutional rights that don't exist for anyone,
right?
You know, and you're drunk. You're obviously
yeah.
drunk by your behavior. It just doesn't look good,
right?
So anyway, this man was ranting and claiming that we were all corrupt and we all had false badges. And at one point, he asked our rookie for his badge number, and the rookie gave it to him. And this guy immediately says, "Well, that's not a real badge number." And we all just laugh, like, what? What do you even mean? What is one then? You
right.
tell us, you know.
Right.
And anyway, while he's ranting, and I was the last officer at that scene, so he'd already been told to be quiet several times by other officers. But this 19-year-old kid, man, kept telling this guy, dude, shut up, these guys will shoot us. And he was completely serious. These guys will shoot us, shut up.
Right.
And I just stood there dumbfounded, and I wanted to pull him aside and go, dude, seriously?
Right.
Is that what you think? That
right.
Because this guy who's an acquaintance of yours is being drunk and disorderly, that we're just, you know, we're just all going to just mow you down? Is that
right.
What? And why on earth would you think that? Well, it's because that's all this guy sees on ESPN, on Fox, or ESPN. Well, probably on ESPN.
It's a sport now.
And... the CNN, Fox, all that's all
yeah.
he sees. And after that situation calmed down, and that whole thing started from a pushing match in our local skate park.
Ah.
And it spun out of control from there and eventually turned into these kids bang on the side of this one other kid's house and all that. That's how we got the call.
Right.
And once it all calmed down and settled, I pulled that 19-year-old aside and I said, why didn't you call us to the skate park when this guy was down there pushing and shoving people and getting in people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, man, we're not going to call the cops. I said, that's my job.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm paid to do.
Right.
And he said, and again, because it's a small town, everybody knows everybody almost.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, maybe if I see you out jogging and you're not in uniform, I'll talk to you. And right there, you know, that tells me he wants to trust us.
Right.
But there's this machismo image, this thing he has to project among his friends.
Right, right.
Like, hey, you know, let's just, you know, we can't, the cops aren't cool. We can't be, you know,
right.
I can't be seen talking to them. But yeah, he tells me, yeah, you know, if I see you out, you know, you're walking your dog,
right.
You know, jogging, I'll talk with you.
Right. So if you're doing that, if that's happening in a small town,
right, multiply that.
You multiply it, say like the city of Chicago,
exactly.
For instance, and it only gets worse.
Exactly.
Now you and I talked a little while ago about I noticed now, like on Facebook, for instance, there's like people will post all kinds of posts about how, you know, now that police have to in such and such county or city have to wear video monitors, they'll stop being assholes. and your response was, it goes both ways.
Absolutely it does.
Because if you show up at a situation where, you know, you made the joke a long time ago about how when you show up at a situation, the guy with his shirt off is the one that's going to start the problem.
Uh-huh.
Well, so if you show up and you know you're being monitored, you're going to calm the fuck down too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it works both ways.
It does work both ways. And the video thing, all right, here's a whole other subject. I might as well go down this path now. That's, you know, it's kind of like the flavor of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know what? We need body cameras on all these officers so we can see what they're doing, and this will stop officer brutality. This will stop officers from crossing the line, etc.
Right.
And
officer brutality happens to be the cousin of officer friendly.
Yes.
They don't get along.
Uh-huh, yes, and the name of a punk rock band.
Officer brutality.
So, my whole take on that was, okay, it like you said, it will to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they're in any profession, they're bad eggs.
Right.
And police officers are, of course, held to a higher standard, as they should be. But
right.
Everybody forgets that police officers are only human beings.
Right.
And you can only push human beings so far before they will crack. No matter, I mean, everybody mm-hmm. has different levels of mm-hmm. that, but they will crack eventually. Because, I mean, you can watch videos of protesters, you know, at police standoff lines.
Right.
You know, people being, officers being spat on, having urine and feces thrown on.
Right.
Having, you know, being called every name in the book, and being verbally threatened, having the families
right.
threatened. And these guys just stand there and take it.
Right.
And it's stuff that, if you flip that,
right.
and you put that on a citizen, and if you pull, to just say, like, some of these protesters aside and say, hey, if you walked up to a plumber
mm-hmm.
or a guy who works down at the deli
mm-hmm.
and basically screamed at him nonstop for 5 minutes and threw urine on his clothes and spat in his face,
right.
what do you think would happen?
Right.
And, you know, that's the kind of thing, you know, you can only push people so far.
Right.
And eventually, you know, things, people will crack. But anyway, so, yeah, the video camera things will stop some of that. And
mm-hmm.
like you said, it's going to stop other people from being jackasses.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other things to take into consideration that people forget about. Like, the video camera is only going to show so much.
Right.
It's going to show a cone coming out from essentially diagonal from
right.
my chest.
Right.
So I could be talking to somebody,
mm-hmm.
but this camera isn't going to see me turning my head and see somebody over there
yeah.
who's all of a sudden
right.
getting stupid
right.
or might be rushing me from a right angle. And now I'm turning to face him, and all of a sudden I've got two guys to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to see that kind of thing.
So it's also going to add 10 pounds.
It is going to add 10 pounds to the people on videotaping.
Yes.
That is true. And so there's that. Then there are other things like, well, a major thing is, how is your local department going to pay for this?
Right.
Now, there were some government grants that said, hey, you know, we will buy these things for your local officers.
Right.
That's great. If your department, one, can qualify for them.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's, okay, even if you get these cameras for free,
right.
then it becomes, how long do you store that data?
Yeah.
Where do you store it?
Mm-hmm.
And for how long? And is there some data that you have to set parameters? Like, what data do we keep? Do I keep the videotape of me telling a lady from Iowa how to get to the next town because she's lost. Do I have to keep that video for...
That actually happened.
Actually, that did happen not too long ago. But do I have to keep that video for what? A week? 6 months? A year?
Right.
What is that? And right. What do I have to keep that video at all? Is it only video where I'm a crime is being committed, or I'm interviewing someone about a possible crime?
Right.
If it's felony, how long do I keep it? If it's a misdemeanor, how long do I keep it?
Right.
Then it becomes, okay, how are you going to pay to store that data? Because right. that data is going to build and build and build like a snowball effect. And there are already departments running into this problem. Like, you have major metropolitan departments, Denver, Chicago, places like that.
I couldn't imagine how big their data would have to be.
The data servers are going to need to store this data, and the cost. I mean, some of these departments are already figuring out this will be millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's millions of dollars from the taxpayers.
Right. So what you got is you have all these people who are like saying like, you know, they need to wear cameras, but I'm not willing to pay for that camera.
Precisely. That's when I bring this out a lot when I get sucked into online debates about policing and things like, okay, you know, I understand you want these cameras and yes, they can do some good, but you have to remember this stuff. How is your local city and your department going to pay for the storage? And how long are you going to keep this? Who's going to set these parameters? And then, again, how long are you going to keep it? Then there's other things like the privacy issue.
Right.
My wife and I went to Austria and Germany for Christmas last year.
You didn't bring me back no chocolate.
I did not bring you back your chocolate. I ate all of it, sorry. And we were talking with friends of ours who work for the State Department over there. And the whole body camera thing was still big in the news, but it's faded somewhat, but it was really big in the news. And our friends told us that when the Austrians heard all of this clamor for, we need body cameras on our police officers, the Austrians basically said, what the hell is wrong with you Americans? Because they were saying things like, you know what? We remember when East Germany was right over there and the Russians were right over here and you were being spied on all the time.
Yeah.
And now, and they were saying, don't you Americans remember when you threw a fit after you learned the NSA was tapping your phone calls and spying on you? And now you want cameras on.
Right.
More cameras than you already have.
Or like when, you know, it's a common thing to like, you know, okay, in quote unquote Europe, you know, there's video cameras everywhere. Oh, that's an invasion of privacy.
Right.
But we want all our police officers to wear them to videotape everything.
Yes.
It's the same damn thing. Whether that camera is mounted on a pole somewhere or mounted on your chest somewhere. It's the same damn thing.
It's another eye on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Austrians, they cannot fathom that.
Right.
And, like, again, why you just threw a fit over this? Why would you want even more?
Right.
And
it's because we have the memory of a goldfish.
Yeah, as Martin Luther King once said, America is a 10-day nation.
Yeah.
Have a memory about 10 days.
Yeah.
After that, it's gone.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a whole other issue. And then there's things like the big issue that was around for, the supposed militarization of police.
Mm-hmm.
And
where everybody was throwing a fit.
Yes.
Why would a local sheriff need a, you know...
A Humvee.
Yeah, a Humvee or a military vehicle.
Yeah, why do these guys need these MRAP vests? Why do they need these MRAP vehicles, rather? And why do they need these high ballistic vests? And why do they need these machine guns? And why do they need...
Because there's the perception that one day they're just going to come knocking on our doors and they're going to take our guns and our children.
This is the first step of a new world order.
Yeah.
And we're going to take over everything. And I can assure any listeners that I have no intention of that. And none of us do. And trust me, we have far more things to worry about, like... You know, did someone lock the skate park? That is the stuff that we deal with.
Right.
And it's not...
Yeah, you deal... I did the ride-along with you the other night, and which was very eye-opening, and it was like, there's a lot of mundane shit you have to do. Everybody seems to think it's always like you're showing up at a domestic dispute or a bar fight or a shootout or a bank robbery, and it's really not like that. It's just... It's a lot of just cruising around, making sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
Yep,
exactly.
Speaking of the 10-day memory thing, a long time ago, you might remember this. A long time ago, there was this place called Baltimore. Uh-huh. And they had these quote unquote protests that happened.
Yes.
Nobody remembers those anymore. Mm-hmm. They're gone. They're not. It's not in vogue anymore.
Maybe because Tom Brady's been suspended for 4 years.
Yes, Tom Brady has basically taken over that.
Right.
When it was on the news, like, okay, because we did an episode on the T word. When that shit hit the fan and everybody went bonkers, they'd have the man in the street, like, talking about you know. Trying to defend these guys who are basically just like, well, you know, everybody's doing something. I'm going to run out. I'm going to steal toilet paper from CVS. Mm-hmm. And they're going to call me a protester. So you got these people defending, like, no, you don't understand them. They're misunderstood. But yet, in the case of a police officer, if you get something where, like, you got some, you know, drunken a-hole, and, you know, they got to get basically, you know, thrown to the ground and, you know, and restrained, and he gets caught on tape, nobody's defending the cop who had to basically keep this guy from, one, hurting himself, and two, hurting somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's like a double standard.
Yes. Yeah, you see that a lot, where I've likened it to this, where everybody has their own perception of what it means to protect and serve.
Right.
You know, everybody pretty much agrees on the protect part.
Right.
Hey, someone's breaking into my house, I want you to show up. Mm-hmm. If I'm in an accident, I need you to, you know, make sure no one else runs over me, you gotta block traffic. If it's, you know, if I'm hurt, I need you to give me medical assistance till the mm-hmm. ambulance gets mm-hmm. there. Everyone pretty much agrees on that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if there's an active shooter in my business, I need you to come in here and take this guy down.
Right.
It's the serve part where everybody has a different, you know, different opinion on it or mm-hmm. definition of it.
Right.
You have some people who is, you know, to serve just basically means, you know, hey, if I call about my neighbor's dog that won't shut up, I expect you to come over.
Right.
Talk to
right.
somebody. And other people, it's, you know, some people it's literally, I want you to get my cat out of a tree.
Right. Or you had the fellow the other night who, when you were on your break, he's like, can I drive with these lights on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have green accent lights in my car.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's, answering questions about the law.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like another one we had that one the same night was we got flagged down by these guys driving a bonfire.
Yeah.
Someone got hey, can you give me a breath test? Cause I want to make sure I'm okay to drive home.
Right.
That's like a typical example of, you know, serving people.
Yeah.
But then for others, it's, well, I really don't want you to write me for speeding because I live on this street and I think I should be able to drive how much I want.
Right.
That's like, that's another version of serving. Or, you know, I expect you guys to drop everything and come to my house mm-hmm. when my neighbor's playing his music loud. I don't care if you're on a domestic call. You know, I pay right. taxes too. You should come see me.
Right.
And, you know, or I don't care if you're, you know, swamped with a serious call. Then another people, it's, well, I don't think law X, Y, and Z applies to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't have to enforce it on me.
Right.
Because I know my rights and I don't think these laws are just and blah, right. blah, blah. And so that's where you run into these double standards.
Right.
Because everybody's has their own definition of what a law enforcement officer serving should
right.
be.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, I see it all the time. I mean, I see it even in our small town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see it from, you know, families with more money to families with less money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of my first years on, I pulled over this young guy for speed, wrote him a speeding ticket, and he flat out looked at me and said, "Don't you know who I am?" Turned out he was the high school quarterback. And I didn't grow up in this town. I said, "No, no, I don't." And then later, one of our reserves officers said, "Yeah, like that kid's a high school quarterback and his dad's the dentist." I'm like, okay, well,
right.
I don't care. He was
right.
speeding. But that kid expected, you know, you should cut me loose because
right.
I'm going to take this team to semi-state or whatever
right.
it was.
Now, I've seen, you know, I come from a small town as well. Now, I have seen firsthand, like favoritism when it comes to, like, okay, without naming names, I knew a family whose one of the members was the sheriff of my town for several years. Mm-hmm. As a result, everybody in that town who was related to him somehow got off scot-free in a lot of ways. I mean, I know one of them, I mean, he would get arrested for, you know, public intoxication and just walk away.
Yeah, unfortunately, that does happen.
You know, and that's what I was going to ask, was like, you know, I know there's a certain amount of it, you know, because why? I mean, just like anything, you can have a bad employee at Taco Bell.
Right.
You know, or just in any occupation. Mm-hmm. So, now, have you ever, have you ever run into the, I don't answer questions guy? You know what I'm talking about?
A little bit. Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty rare for me.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then you do run into, like, well, I don't have to answer your questions.
Right.
And my take on that is usually, well, okay, but we're going to be here a lot longer. You know, like, especially, like, I'll just use a traffic stop as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I pulled somebody, well, yeah, I don't have to talk to you and I don't have to give you my information. Well, okay, but, you know, you could be out of here in 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, and then,
right.
You know, I stopped you because your taillight's out.
Right.
I'm not, you know, stopping you because, you know, I think there's some grand conspiracy.
Right.
You've got 20 kilos in this car. Your taillight is out, for heaven's sake.
I think that the general populace just thinks you're going to get dragged off to some concentration camp somewhere if you say the wrong thing.
Right, and some people do think that. And, you know, it's, you know, we have to try to really change perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this job almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And every person I arrest, I tell them the same thing. I always tell them, either as I'm getting ready to cuff them or as I'm cuffing them, or right after they're cuffed, I tell them, look, I'll be cool with you if you're cool with me.
Right, like the fella the other night.
Yeah.
He was just absolutely cool.
Yeah, and
you know,
I tell them, that's how I always work. I said, then I always tell them, if you choose to be a jackass,
mm-hmm.
you're probably not going to like me very well.
Right.
And right there, I'm telling you, it is your choice. And,
right.
You know, if you choose to be a jackass, I know, I'm not... Cause, you know, I'm not going to come out. You know, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to do. I tell people all the time. No, I'm not here to, you know, jack you up.
Right.
I'm just, you know, you made a mistake.
Right.
You know, I'm going to take you to jail. You get bonded out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll still be able to make it to work. You know, I basically give people all these options. Like, you know, this isn't the end of the world, but I'll be cool with you if you're cool with me.
Right.
And I've had so many people want to say, "Oh man, thanks."
Right.
You know, hey, that's cool. Because right there, I'm letting them know. Again, I'm not here to jack you up
and right.
be a jerk about this. I'm just doing a job.
Right. Well, you have an occupation where, realistically, I watched you do some, you know, pullovers or whatever you call them for traffic violations right. and whatnot. At any given moment, that shit could get really messed up
yes.
really fast.
Blink an eye.
So technically, your job. Your job is like extremely could go bad really really quickly.
Yes.
The odds of somebody getting pulled over. Okay, I get pulled over because my tail light's out, and you know, you're not gonna drag me out of the car and just start beating the hell out of me every single time. So yeah. So technically, if you think about it, your job is way more stressful than the guy who gets pulled over. He just got pulled over. But you don't like, what am I trying to say here? Like, your tension level should be way up here.
Mm-hmm.
Our tension level should be way down here.
Right.
But for some reason, like, I don't know whether it's that whole, I have this theory about having a sense of empowerment in a hopeless situation. You like to make yourself into a victim. Mm-hmm. So we've somehow, I mean, we in the general sense, the victims of television have somehow managed to escalate out what we think is our tension level way up here.
Oh, certainly.
So I think it's just somewhere it got switched.
Okay.
But, you know, you get a couple videos on YouTube of, you know, a questionable situation, and suddenly we've built a mountain out of a molehill, and we think we're like, you know, the victims, every single one of us, you know, in general, not.
Well,
not,
yeah, The keeping, you know, keeping your stress level down as an officer,
mm-hmm.
that becomes easier with training and experience.
Yeah.
And especially since I am a trainer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and hopefully the guys I have trained, they have the same type of thought processes. So when, you know, I'm walking up on a car,
right.
Hopefully when I've already pulled them over somewhere where if nothing else, I can get to, if it's, things go bad,
yeah,
I can get to either cover or concealment.
Right.
And so I know if I, if there, if I need it. And you're watching for subtle things because, yeah, it, in the blink of an eye, it can go from, I stopped you for a taillight out to, and all of a sudden this guy is leaning over the back seat, he's putting rounds through the back window at me.
Right.
And now it's a completely different situation.
Right.
So, but with more experience and training, you learn how to keep yourself calm.
Right.
Even during a shoot. And, but you're right in that, you know, some people, they glom onto this media frenzy. And so they think, my God, if I get pulled over, I'm going to get dragged out of this car and beaten. Or
right.
I'm going to, you know, who knows, or, you know, big thing now is, these cops are going to plant something in my car.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to create a false case against me. Mm-hmm. Next thing, I'm going to be in jail because they have to get their numbers up and get their stats up and all that rigmarole.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that more and more now.
Right.
You know, I've had plenty of people tell me, well, I just feel like you're only pulling me over because you're trying to meet your quotas. Mm-hmm. And what I tell people, we don't have quotas.
Yeah.
We don't have quotas. You can call our chief and ask her.
Right.
We don't have quotas.
Well, see, you go to school, you go to training, you become a police officer. You don't have to meet a quota. It's the guy that goes out of high school and gets a job in a factory who has a quota.
Sure.
You know. Now I've known you for about 13 years now,
mm-hmm.
and when we first started to work together, because we work together.
Yeah.
When we first started to work together, not in law enforcement, we're in comic books.
Right.
We're both geeks, big time. At first, I was a little bit put off because I was like, well, you know, what can I, you know, what you know, is he, you know, what kind of person
is he? Hard ass.
Yeah. Is he by the book? Is everything, you know, when he's not wearing his uniform, what is he? And over a very quick period of time, I learned right away. Oh. Nick's just a human.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, just maybe, rather than like come up with like a false idea that the media gives us of what you guys are, perhaps it would be a better idea to actually meet them, like you said, the one guy, you know, at the Kroger's,
right.
or at the volleyball court or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to actually understand that you guys are just humans like everybody else.
Sure. Yeah,
but
that's a big thing in that, because I cannot tell you the number, I've long since forgotten the number
mm-hmm.
of people I've bumped into at the post office
mm-hmm.
or the grocery store, and someone I saw, you know, the previous night on an ambulance call
mm-hmm.
or in a car wreck or something, like, hey, you know, what's the word on your car?
Right.
And they'll just do a double take, and they'll, I didn't even recognize you, first
right.
thing out of their mouth.
Right.
I didn't even recognize you, because people focus so much on just the badge and the gun. That's
right.
all they
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could be out there with a Michael Myers mask on and they wouldn't even notice.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, then all of a sudden I show up at the post, I'm like, holy cow, that was you? And then they're like, yeah, that
yeah.
was me at the thing. You know, how are you doing? And like, wow, I even, you know,
right.
I didn't expect to see you dressed like this. I'm in a shorts and a t-shirt.
What, right. What know? Do you expect me to always,
yeah, exactly.
what, like the one, like who's the Officer Hightower from,
yeah, exactly.
from Police Academy? You're always supposed to walk around like that.
So, yeah, it's this perception that, I mean, I used to collect police myths that I heard from people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been years since I've written any new ones down, but
mm-hmm.
I, you know, heard some of the wildest stuff, like, if an officer passes you in traffic and they have to turn around on the curb or in the median, they're not legally allowed to pull you over.
Right.
What? You know,
right.
Where did you find this law that doesn't exist? You know, or things like, I took a guy to jail one time, and I turned on the FM radio in my squad car,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I didn't think you guys were allowed to listen to the radio.
Yeah.
What?
There's
what?
A lot of misconceptions.
Like, what?
What I witnessed the other night riding around with you was like, I didn't know that's how it was.
Yeah.
One thing I did notice, and I think a lot of people should really calm down about this shit, is like, we have this, and I use we in the generic sense, we have this idea that when we see a police car fly by, but there's no lights on, we're like, asshole, you know, slow
sure.
down, you're just being a dickhead, you want to get and buy a Dunkin' Donuts. But that's not really what it is. Something happened, you don't want to cause this huge you know, you witness, like, okay, a guy with his taillight out right. or speeding or whatever, and you want to catch up with him, sure. but you don't want to throw your lights on because that just creates a massive amount of panic.
Yeah, there are times when it's not the best moment to flip on your lights and sirens.
Right.
If there's a lot of traffic.
Cause right. You, yeah, because that'll cause just complete
you
chaos.
You run the risk of spooking somebody, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden now they've jerked the
yep.
wheel, and now
everybody's going to pull over, exactly, and it's going to, yeah.
And now you've got an accident because that you freaked them out and they pulled over too hard,
mm-hmm.
and they're up on the curb or they're into another car,
mm-hmm.
or in our part of the state, there's a large Amish community,
mm-hmm.
and there are times when if you're coming up on a horse and buggy, you really should turn that siren off.
Yeah.
You spook a horse, and some little old Amish lady ain't going to stop that,
mm-hmm.
you know, ton and a half horse
yep.
from taking off. Now you've got another potentially bad accident.
Mm-hmm.
So
the horse could also be epileptic.
That's true.
That would be a problem.
So yeah, there are times when, you know, you've got to just whip around and just go, no lights, no sirens for at least a couple blocks,
mm-hmm.
just to, you know, keep potentially, again, something from happening.
Yeah, you're not trying to exacerbate a situation.
Right.
You're trying to defuse
yeah.
a situation.
And, you know, now, of course, you know, most of the time, yeah, you're going to have them on and rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are times when it's not a good idea. And like a good example from like a more serious thing is burglary in progress.
Right.
If you get a call of, hey, I just saw this guy break into the butcher shop, you don't want to be rolling up lights and sirens because you want to catch that guy
yeah.
in there. And you know, if he hears you coming from blocks away, he's bolting.
He's gonna yeah, haul
and,
ass.
And
yep.
now you know, yeah, granted you might have stopped him from potentially taking more stuff, but
mm-hmm.
now he's gone, and or you know, he's left with the money out of the cash register. Whereas if you rolled up silent,
mm-hmm.
and with no lights, he may still be in there
mm-hmm.
prying that cash register open. He never even heard you coming.
Right.
And so there are times like that when it's not advantageous at all.
Right.
Now, say like in an active shooter situation, you go lights, sirens, all the noise you can make.
Right.
Because studies have figured out that most active shooter situations are done in 10 minutes or less, and most of them end by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as they hear us coming, they just kill themselves.
Right.
So when I was first studying active shooter tactics, it was stealth,
yeah.
for officer safety. But now it's nope, make as much noise as you can. If that lunatic smokes himself, okay. You know,
right.
that's fewer people he's killing.
So is officer safety related to officer friendly? And,
yes, okay. another.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
well, Nick, it was really good having you on here. And
sure.
I just to warn you, at some point we're gonna find the antithesis of what you've just said.
Oh,
we're
that's fine.
I mean, we're hoping to find somebody who has a bug up their ass about it, and not just some a-hole. Somebody who actually has experience in this situation and can put something together. And then at some point, we're going to do where you guys...
Like a live debate or something?
Yeah. So at some point that will happen. But before we go, I need to let our audience know every bit of contact information you want them to know.
Oh,
from
okay.
your writing to whatever. Feel free to spot whatever it is you want to give out.
Let's see. In terms of all my comic book work and some of my non-comic book work, short fiction, stuff like that... picklepress.net,
mm-hmm.
all one word, picklepress.net is the easiest way to look up that.
Mm-hmm.
My horror host show is Weirdo-Rama, which you can find on YouTube or weird-o-rama, rama.com.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of episodes up there. Let's see. I'm on Twitter at Nick Havers.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Facebook fan page for Pickle Press and for my fiction writing and for Weird-O-Rama, of course. I'm the psychedelic alternative punk rock editor for Outlaw Magazine.
Mm.
So if you go to outlawmagazine.tv
right. mm-hmm.
and just type in my name, you'll find all my reviews. I have, it's got to be 100 or more reviews up there by now.
You're a little busy.
Yeah. So that's a great way to find your new favorite band
mm-hmm.
And stuff I write for them. There's a website I write for called A Place to Hang Your Cape,
mm-hmm.
which is AP2HYC.com, and I review TV shows for them. I have a column there called The Police Report,
mm-hmm.
where I tear apart the police and crime scene work on shows like Gotham and iZombie and The Flash.
As well you should.
And, yes, especially Gotham, which is just horrible.
Yeah.
And even The Flash has this laughable crime scene work.
Yeah.
The, real quick,
mm-hmm.
the one of my biggest beefs with both of those shows that, and you see this on many police shows, but Gotham and The Flash, for some reason, cannot figure this out, is at almost every, in almost every crime scene, there's at least one person with a cup of coffee. As a, you do not eat or drink or
yeah, chew gum exactly. or smoke
in a crime scene. And almost, and there was an episode of Gotham where Harvey Bullock and the police captain are standing literally on either side of a dead body in a barrel, and they're both drinking coffee right over this body.
Yeah,
and
as if spilling it wouldn't yeah, fuck everything up.
Exactly. And then there's another episode where there's another crime scene, and this road officer is lighting up a smoke
mm-hmm.
right near this corpse, and Jim Gordon says, "Hey, go have a smoke somewhere else." And the guy walks off, and he turns to talk to Bullock, and Bullock's drinking a cup of coffee. He doesn't say a damn thing.
Right.
You know, so he gets a pass. But,
right,
you know,
right.
So, yeah, that's... it drives me crazy.
Right.
So, anyway, I have that column there, and, boy, that might be about everything.
About everything.
Yeah.
Well, what I don't understand is, okay, you do all this other stuff. When do you find time to, like, you know, drag guys out of their car and beat them down for no good reason?
I don't. That, okay. I don't do that at all. I'm easily the most mellow guy on the force.
Yeah.
And
you were all pretty mellow. I met a good deal of you guys last night. You guys are pretty mellow as a whole. All right, well, it was a pleasure having you on the show, Nick.
Well, there you go. And as my once hero said, now you know the rest of the story.
An interview that was vastly more entertaining than the movie by the same name. I would like to point out, I had to cut the interview a little bit short due to time constraint. But one of the key things that Nick and I talked about towards the end was, you see all this stuff on television and on the internet, and you get all kinds of pissed off. And you know, the thing you got to remember is, don't panic. Let's see, I did there.
Yeah, that was good.
Don't panic. And if you don't like the way it is, vote whoever you have to vote out of office to get things changed. You don't like, you know, because the police have to answer to the mayor. Vote the mayor out. You know, vote the sheriff out. Just fucking vote. It's what the whole system is based on, and it was originally intended to stop problems like this from happening. If you don't like it, vote.
No, I obviously have a ton of thoughts on the matter, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. including that. And so I think we've got plenty of fodder for future for future discussion.
Right.
The other thing I want to point out is this is one police officer's view, right?
Exactly.
Police are not one giant machine, you know, with one view, right? So I bet you as many opinions as there are amongst civilians, there are that many opinions amongst the police as well.
Exactly, exactly. So, I met some of his fellow, you know, police officers, and yeah, they're all different kinds of people.
Yeah. So I'd enjoy hearing from other people in either, you know, law enforcement or military or government or whatever, as well as I know I have at least one friend who has a friend that knows somebody who's been arrested before, and I'd like to hear from that guy to see what he heard from his friend that knows that guy.
Right. Right.
There's got to be some candid reaction to what you just heard, is what I'm saying. Did it piss you off? And were you screaming at your radio saying, look, you got that part wrong, but you didn't think about this part? We will talk about it in the future, and we will interview anybody. Put your hand up. We'll let you tell your side of the story.
You send us a message, and we'll interview you. If you got it, you know. It's what we do.
Absolutely. And
I would, however,
in the meantime, that's about all the time we have for this
like
show.
I would like to, before we call it a show.
Any parting thoughts?
I would like to thank Nick's nephew, Josh Havert, for setting us up for the night, because without him, we would have been recording it out in the parking lot. So check out Josh Havard at Nerd News, and you won't be disappointed. He's a pretty cool guy.
Well, there you go. And with that, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. This has been the Don't Panic Radio Show. Don't you forget, most of what you just heard was not true.
And the police.
Please press 1 to accept the charges.